So, today we're going to be talking about a willing sacrifice, right? And for any of those of you who thought that that was a long reading, well, it was Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm in the Bible, so just be glad that I cut a massive chunk out, okay? We'll talk about a couple of other verses, but, you know. So last week we had John Mosey here, and he touched a little bit on sacrifice, actually, but we're going to go a little bit more in depth now. And he also talked about forgiveness and having this Christ-like mind, and how forgiveness can very much be a process. And we're going to talk today about how sacrifice can be a process. It's certainly a very countercultural way of living, and we're going to talk about this process now and this way of living. So essentially, sacrifice is about giving up something for the greater good, or accepting something that you know ultimately leads to the greater good. Even if you maybe don't want it. And that's really how we understand sacrifice today. And very much in the Old Testament, it was about making things right with God. So demonstrating that you were prepared to be obedient in order to make things right with God. So we're going to talk about sort of two main reasons to sacrifice. And they do overlap a little bit, but you'll sort of see as we go along how it all works. So, sacrifice is arguably the result of a conflict, okay? So it's not like compromise. So with compromise, both parties give something. You know, you meet each other halfway. But sacrifice is actually where one person gives entirely, and it's just from the one party. So we see sacrifice very much in the Old Testament. You know, if you think about the original covenant that God made with Abraham, Abraham walked through those animals, and it was God's promise to Abraham, and all Abraham had to do was just walk through it and accept it. There was nothing really that Abraham had to compromise or sacrifice himself. It was all the sacrifice from God. He was the one sort of at risk, if you will, because of the promise that he was making. So sacrifice is not compromise. We cannot mix those two up. And one of the problems that we've seen sort of historically in the church and in the current day is that actually sometimes there's a little bit too much compromise, and it's tricky. And so we really need to make sure that we are searching our hearts to make sure that, you know, what are we compromising and what are we sacrificing? And you know, Romans 12, verse 18 says that if possible on your part, live at peace with everyone. So maybe there is a place for compromise. I'm not saying never, ever compromise. But possibly, you know, we need to just work out what the best situation is for compromise. And ultimately, if we're following the example of Jesus, you know, can compromise result in us bringing the kingdom of God to earth? Or is it better to sacrifice? At the end of the day, sacrifice is God ordained, and it is the example that Jesus sets us, and we're going to touch on that now and onwards. So, there you go, nice little image to help you with this next point. Sacrifice can break barriers between us and God. So on one side, you see that there's a person trying to communicate with a person on the other side, but there's a great big wall between them. Okay, so let's just try and kind of imagine this as, you know, God is trying to communicate with us, but things that are bad for us kind of block that way, that kind of communication process, all right? It's, you know, it's just a metaphor, work with me, okay? And those things that are bad for us, if we, you know, get rid of them, then communication is going to be a lot easier. And I want us to talk about how, and this will come into play in a moment, but one person's sacrifice isn't necessarily the same as another person's sacrifice. And if you think about in Leviticus, actually the Levitical law took into account different people's situation. So depending on how, you know, wealthy or how poverty-stricken you were, there would be a different sacrifice that you would have to give. So God knows our situation, and he will meet us there, and he will work with us with what we have. So, you know, I can't really stand up here and say, well, you all have to sacrifice this, that, the other. OK, Okay, it doesn't really work like that. I mean, there are some things that obviously we all have to, you know, try and avoid, because there are things that are very clear in the Bible that God does not want us to do. But there are many things that we have to come to conclusion about on our own and have to really work through by ourselves. And often the joy of sacrifice comes out of a very intimate relationship with God. So we don't want that wall to be in between us and God. We want to break that down, because actually then we can find that sacrifice can actually bring us great joy, though that's not necessarily the first thing we might feel when we sacrifice. So God knows us very intimately. He knows us more than anybody at all. You know, you can quote a million psalms that say it, can't you? And he knows what something means to you more than anybody else ever can. You know, you can try and communicate the best you possibly can with words, but at the end of the day, God knows us inside and out, and he's the one who knows what really means something to us. And true sacrifice is really that informed decision that we make in light of the understanding that we have about God's word. So, you know, it is better to give than receive. You know, sacrifice, if we're giving, it can actually bring us great joy, okay? Whether it's here or, you know, now, here and now or later on. And we really have to be very careful how we judge other people's sacrifice. So again, we're thinking about how this is actually a very intimate thing that we would do for God. You know, we might see somebody else's life and actually, you know, we don't really know what's going on between them and God. And what we need to do is actually, rather than sort of stand and judge people, we need to just encourage them in their relationship with God. Because at the end of the day, if you're, you know, praying and you're reading your Bible plenty, then there should be no problem. Because eventually, and remember, all of these things are a process, you'll get to that point where you think, actually, that's not right in my life. But then there's that choice that we have to make. Are we willing to sacrifice it in order to break down that barrier for God? Okay? So it's very much our own personal decisions, and we have to come to that conclusion on our own. We have to figure out whether it's what we're actually willing to do or not. So we have to make sure that we're looking very closely at our own behavior and our desires and make sure that they are what God wants for us. So he objectively knows what is the best for us. He knows everything, right? And even though it might not feel like it's what's best for us, it is what's best for us. And, you know, obviously it can feel very good to sin, to do stuff that's wrong, to do stuff that's not best for us in the long run. But at the end of the day, you know, if the Bible makes something clear, then we need to address it, even if it's something that, you know, really, really we desperately want. So I do encourage us all to really think about these things. So don't just go by feeling alone. There you go. It's more blessed to give than receive. I'm keeping up with these slides really well. So in Psalm 19, it says, "How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free from guilt and innocent of great sin." So I really encourage you, you know, you can use this as a model to pray into your life every day. And it's really important that we think about actually, you know, what is it that maybe I'm doing that I don't even realize is wrong? Because we need to work on that. And really talk to God, and hopefully through that communication, through that relationship, we'll come to some kind of realization, and then we'll be able to get closer to God, and we'll have that moment of joy in sacrifice after that process. Okay, and then we can be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. I mean, that's pretty great. A good deal, I would say. So again, we're going to come back to this idea that, you know, sacrifice is conflict, but what exactly is that conflict? So it's really very much our will versus his will. So you could think of this as the desire of the flesh versus the desire of the spirit, and how the flesh is against the spirit. The spirit desires what is against the flesh. Galatians 5 talks all about it. And at the end of that little segment of Galatians 5 on your screen, it says, "Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So if you practice the desires of the flesh, if you practice your will, so we're going to talk about the desires of the flesh and the desires of the spirit as our will versus his will. Okay, so flesh is sort of what we want, our will, and the spirit is his will, what he knows is best, okay? And he does know what is best. So it's very much flesh versus spirit, and it's ultimately better for us all, not just us as individuals, but the people who are around us, you know, close, far away, if God's will is done. So, okay, I've got this working. Hello, testing. Can you hear me? Good, good. Okay. If not, I can just shout, you know, from the pulpit. Very dramatic. Yes, where are I? Yeah. So it's about a daily sacrifice. Okay, you know how giving up your cross daily, right? That's a quote that most of us know from our scriptures. And even if, okay, I'm just going to shout at you. Is that right? Can you hear me from the back? Oh, okay. Is it the, oh yeah. There's, okay. I won't shout at you, I'll just project. Testing, 1, 2. Can you hear me now? You know, and the pain that was to put this microphone on today did not fit around my hair. My dad, I don't think, has the same problem. Oh no, this is on recording. Uh-oh. I'm not going to get away with that one. Hello, testing. Oh, sounds like it's working. All right, I'll pay for that one later. Dad, I love you on this recording. Please edit that out for the internet. Thank you. So we have to give up our cross daily and, oh, I have to stay near this microphone now. Oh, goodness me. Right. I'm sorry, guys. I'm with it. I am with it. Okay. So it's our little decisions as well as the big ones. All right. Little decisions and big decisions. And when we think about the sacrifice of Jesus, you know, we immediately think about the cross, but he lived 33 years prior to that. And every day was a sacrifice. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. So, kind of in summary to this point, we need to, you know, make sure that we're not reading into the Bible what we want to see, because often, you know, we read it with our own filters, our own experience, and our desires. You know, what our will is can sometimes overpower what the text is actually telling us. So we really need to meditate on the scriptures. That means just to think about it, to study it, to look very closely about it. You know, we have to invest in our relationship with God to ensure good understanding. And if we do that, we will get there eventually. And it's this very much a process, okay? Just like any relationship that you build with a human being is a process, it's very similar here as well. And that's why Psalm 119, going back to it, here we go. Help me understand your instruction, and I will obey it and follow it with all my heart. So it's that element of working with God to understand, and then our obedience, following it with our heart. So sometimes we have to, you know, work with God if it doesn't make immediate sense to us. And in the meantime, faith could fill in those gaps, maybe. Yeah, does that sound about right? Yeah. So let's break through those barriers. Yeah, can see you're all loving that cat picture. That went down really well. Great. Feeling great right now. So, sacrifice is an act of worship to glorify God, okay? And he is our ultimate, Jesus is our ultimate example for how to live, right? Can I get some nods in the house? Yes. All right, good. We all know our basics. That's good. So, he obviously gave the ultimate sacrifice. We just mentioned that a couple of minutes ago, giving his life on the cross so that we don't actually have to take the punishment for the things that we've done wrong. Pretty amazing, as it stands. Okay, that one sacrifice, pretty amazing. But actually, when it comes down to it, there were, you know, many sacrifices before that. And just before the cross, we probably know this verse. Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Do you see how Jesus Christ himself experienced that? My will as the flesh versus your will, God, as the spirit. Okay, so Jesus knows that battle, all right? And this is just one of the many examples in the Bible that we see and the ones that we don't see as well. He was obedient, okay? He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Okay, so God, Jesus himself, God as flesh, showed us that we can, you know, deny our own will and be obedient to God. though it's not necessarily easy. So what else do we think that Jesus, you know, sacrificed on his way to the cross? Well, I'll give you a couple of ideas. I've got a massive list, so let's whiz through this nice and quickly. So, you know, he was obviously the servant king. That's what we know. So he was living in a culture where 30 was considered old, mature. He was a single man, a childless man in a culture where children are, you know, the thing that everybody has to have. Otherwise, you know, there's a lot of problems socially if you don't have children. I mean, just look at the birth of John the Baptist just before Jesus came in. That was still very much the culture. You know, you need to have a son, a child to pass on your sort of lineage. He was the son of God, but he lived his life as a carpenter. And not only was he part of this modest household and family, but he was from Nazareth. And we all maybe, hopefully, know the quote, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Yeah, that's John 1:46 for anyone who needs to revise that. Even his brothers didn't believe in him until after he was after his death. You know, they actually said to people that he was mad. Yeah, so if you're having struggles with your family, Jesus knows what that is like. Okay, and Jesus is there. God is with us through that. He could have been a wealthy leader. I mean, think about how clever he was. He knew his scriptures. He could have been one of those Pharisees, Sadducees. He could have been wearing those glorious robes, but he didn't. He lived his life very, very humbly indeed. He sacrificed his reputation and pride regularly. You know, people said he was demon-possessed when actually he was the Son of God. I mean, the two massive opposites. And he received so much negativity. You know, at the end of the day, we don't know what isn't in the Bible. We don't know if he was bullied as a kid. We don't know if at any point in the time, you know, he'd received something really horrible that, you know, he still stood his ground. And we just know that he was free of sin. So that's pretty impressive if, you know, we've all been there, right, guys? You know, life is tough and wasn't any less tough for Jesus back in those days. Think of the time before Wi-Fi. I mean, just, gosh, he really did good. Yeah. yeah. Mixed feelings, I can tell. But, you know, at any point in time, he could have had heavenly intervention, couldn't he? But he didn't ask for it. You know, not just when the devil tried to tempt him, but just every single day he could have been like, right, that guy bullied me. Angel, you know what to do. Yeah. Okay, you can fill in the gaps. You know, he just got on with his job for 33 years. You know, he just did it, all right? And sometimes he was recognized and applauded, and other times he was scorned, and other times it just went unnoticed. And he is our example for living. So that tells us a lot about the standard that we should at least be aiming for. And again, remember, it's a process. We're going to keep coming back to that. Have you noticed that's a recurrent theme? Yeah, a motif, as we'd call it in English. Yeah, motif. So, so much of his sacrifice is unseen, and often the most costly sacrifices are unseen. He knows. Yeah, I thought you'd like the picture of the baby. Yep, toothy smile. Hope you appreciate that. Level of cuteness. So, God knows how dear some things are to us, and how hard it is for us to lay down our will, and instead you know, go for the will of the Spirit, go for the will of God. I mean, he lived through it. I did the maths, okay? Approximately 12,000 days. There you go. That's how many days he went through it. Okay, that does include his life as a baby, which I imagine was a bit, you know, less tempting. I don't know. We're all born in sin. We could do a different analysis. Maybe we'll do that for a burning question. I don't know. Anyways, back to the point. So, Matthew 6, verse 4, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So, you know, even if something goes unseen, then we still get a reward from God, ultimately. And it says, the slides don't match up with my notes, that's fine. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will find it. What will it benefit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his life? Okay, so sacrifice is very much about breaking barriers by bringing the kingdom of God to earth. Okay, so it's not just a barrier between us and God and our relationship with him, but actually it can be the barrier between heaven and earth. Okay, God's kingdom and the earth. All right? So we can break those barriers through obedience, which is a result of a relationship of faith and trust, which often are built through worship and appreciation for what God has done. Okay? And it's well worth remembering that the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Okay, so we don't know necessarily whether that's going to happen today, tomorrow, in the afterlife, who knows? Okay, but if we are willing to be obedient, if we are willing to give generously, we actually do get it all back. Okay, and even if God, you know, even if God is the only person who sees it, then that is still a pretty good position to be in. And it's very much this idea of, you know, don't just sacrifice for the sake of it. Don't be a martyr. You know, God's not asking for self-flagellation. He's asking for you to think about actually what in life is a barrier, what in life, you know, could improve our relationship with God. You know, there's not really any reward for just being a martyr, but God does give rewards for obedience and living the life that God wants us to live. So give what you can. Give in kindness, compassion, consideration for others. Sometimes also we have to stand up for other people at the risk and loss of our own reputations. And that's very much the example Jesus set us. And it is a way of life. It's not just one decision. And when it says God loves a cheerful giver, that doesn't have to mean that, you know, when we're sacrificing something that we really, really, really wanted, we have to be really super happy about it immediately. But in the long run, you know, again, a process or step by step, we might find that actually, you know, we can be cheerful. And remember, in the meantime, faith can fill in the gaps before understanding and before any of these things. Okay, so what about our heart's desires? This is just a little bit thing. Of a thing to encourage you really is that, you know, we know that God cannot actually break promises. Like, it's impossible. And God's promise to us is that he will give you your heart's desires. But it's really important that we remember that, you know, when we get close to somebody, they kind of change our attitudes and what we like and what we don't like. You know, that's why it says bad company corrupts good character in the Bible, because who you spend your time with changes who you are. And so you might find that actually the closer you get to God, the more your desires align with his. So, you know, trust in God and trust that he will give you your heart's desires and constantly work on that relationship with him. So, in conclusion, I can see everyone's now sat up straight because they're excited that it's a conclusion. It's almost coffee and biscuits. I know, don't worry, I'm there with you. So, if you sacrifice, it breaks down barriers. It's a great way of worshipping God, okay, and showing him that, you know, you really do believe in him. You know he's worthwhile. You know he's worth it. And it really is something magnificent. And I really strongly recommend it for the times in our lives where we feel a little bit lukewarm. And I think everybody in their Christian journey at some point feels a little bit lukewarm. You know, we talk about that, you know, you still believe in God and, you know, you still have faith, but you don't quite have the fire. You don't quite, you know, you're not telling every other person, oh, I went to church on Sunday, it was amazing. And, you know, we all express these things in different ways, of course. But if you are feeling a bit lukewarm, try and sacrifice something, okay? I promise you it will change something, okay? And remember, it's a process, so maybe give up a little bit, then increase it, and that more joy will come as you go. It will add fuel to those metaphorical embers, okay? And it's not about money. Please don't read in between the lines and think that this is about money. Actually, what I recommend you do is things like get up 15 minutes earlier, sacrifice part of your lie-in to pray and read the Bible, okay? Which is, you know, a really powerful thing to do. Or maybe sacrifice food for a day. Okay, that's hard for some of us in the room, okay? Don't do this if you get really hangry, maybe not wise, but think about it, okay? But if you sacrifice food for a day, then maybe every time your stomach rumbles, you can think about God and pray a little bit, just one line in your head maybe. And that is a good way to get that fire burning again. So there's lots of things that we can sacrifice, we just need to really reflect on it and work with God to get to that point. So, closing prayer. Happier days, right? That last slide, promise. So, in Psalm 139, it says, "Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life." And we're now going to pray that together, okay? So, Lord God, we really do pray that you will look very closely at our lives, that you will find out everything about us. We thank you, Lord God, that you still love us, even though you know every single thing that we have ever done, ever thought, ever felt. We pray that you'll cross-examine us and test us and get a clear picture of what we are about. And we pray that you will see whether we've done anything wrong and that you will guide us then on the road to eternal life, that you will help us to know what we need to sacrifice in our own lives to get closer to you and to bring you glory. We really pray that you will give us understanding of your word so that we know why there are some things that you suggest we are best to stay away from. And we pray that when we don't understand it, we'll have the faith to believe that your way is indeed the best way. And we really do pray that you'll give us the strength to sacrifice our will and instead promote your will above all others. Help us to get rid of anything sinful in our lives and help the desires of our heart to be the same as your desires. Let your kingdom come and let it come through us. In Jesus' name, amen.